They told me that the theme for your anniversary is transformation. And I believe with all heart, this is a time for the body of Christ truly to be transformed, to walk in the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. When the world is going crazy, now I'm gonna say some things that may rub you a little bit. I say when the world is going crazy, now watch this, even in the church, we need Jesus. Jesus is the same as he was yesterday, as he is today. And he wants to move mightily in this hour. Do you believe that? I believe that with my whole heart. I remember, and before I get too far, Justin and Brianna Hightower, did they leave? Where they at? They went to change up. But such a powerful message on how God will provide. We have to be very careful that we don't get familiar with just doing church. It becomes something we do on Sunday or and for some of us on Wednesday or Tuesday, whenever that is. I honestly believe when the people of God comes together, the power of God should enter the doors. Because the Holy Spirit resides in your home. Oh, hello. So when you and the Holy Spirit comes in, lives are changed by the power of the Holy Ghost. And you come expecting for lives to be changed and transformed by the power of God. You see, we can get so familiar that we just do church. It's because it's what we do, especially in America, where we got so much stuff at our fingertips that we get so comfortable. I don't want tragedy to have to, well, really, tragedy did hit about 2 or 3 years ago with COVID. Got us on our faces, didn't it? Yeah. Listen to what I'm saying. God wants to move in this house. In the latter days, this ministry is going to be greater than the former days. I so much appreciate Pastor Walker and his messages, his integrity. I've seen a lot of stuff. I've seen a lot of people bust out the gate, gangbusters, but ain't nowhere to be found today. You see them all on the news. They done did this. They done did that. Because they done forgot who brought them to where they are. So this is a new day, Pastor Greg. And we want to see the power of God move and transform our lives. When we come into this house, we expect God to do something different. We expect lives to be changed. We expect the greatest miracle that a person could ever experience, and I'm going to tell you what that is, when they are born again. That's the greatest miracle, because your residence is transformed. Although you are on the earth, but your residence is in heaven. Now you can go to your heavenly Father and say, Father, your kingdom come on my job. Your kingdom come in my house. The same way it's in heaven. The greatest miracle is when a person is born again. Now, we ain't not talking about the by and by. We're talking about right now. Everlasting life begins at that moment. Wow. Well, that's shouting right there, isn't it? Some people think, I just want to get saved so I can go to heaven. No. You got heaven right now. You got healing right now. You got restoration right now. Hello, somebody. Yeah. You know, I remember when it was at our girls' facility, Pastor Walker, over in Athens, and these girls coming from all walks of life and just totally rebellious, come from home, some of them, and they didn't care nothing about Jesus. They could care less about Jesus. And so me and my wife, we pulled them together, about eight of them. We said, come on, we're going to have chapel. They say, what is that? I said, we're going to sing some songs, and man, we ain't singing. I said, that's all right. Y'all come on, let's go sit around the table. And the only person who was singing was me and my wife. And they were sitting there laughing, snickering, laughing at us. So we kept doing that for about a couple weeks. And then one day I said, well, you know, I want to pray over you. And I laid hands on one of those girls, and the power got knocked on the floor. Bam! She stopped blinking her eyes. And so a week went by. I said, okay, girls, y'all just come together, and we're gonna do chapel. Here's what she said. Is this where we fall out at? They recognize the power that was greater than they have ever experienced. And we watched those girls surrender their lives to Jesus. We didn't have to ask them to do chapel. They went and did chapel on their own. Oftentimes, as parents, we don't set the atmosphere for our children. That's important. Yeah, we do the education, we do all of that, but I'm telling you, the most important thing is to set the right atmosphere for your children. If you don't, TikTok will. Yeah, I laugh at it now because it's just so comical, because I believe God has a sense of humor. One of those girls came in with black fingernail polish and black lipstick, black hair, black clothes, and we told her, Mom, listen, she's not going to be able to wear that here. And so she was so angry. You know, her boyfriend was Kurt Cobain. And he's dead. But that was her boyfriend that she worshiped. So we're sitting at the table with the Bible. She took the Bible and kicked it across the room. She said, you can't tell me one dude created the whole world. She was calling Jesus a dude. So we just looked at her. And one day she tried to run away from the program and hoping that her parents would take her back home, but they didn't. And we had the parents over to the facility, and we told them, listen, we're not going to put them out. That's what they want you to do. But you need to go and tell her that she's not going home. And they said, well, okay, go get her. So I went to go get her, and a voice came out of this girl that I have never heard in my life. She says, I will kill you. I says, no, you won't. You're going to come out of here today in the name of Jesus. We held her down. She weighed about 90 pounds, but boy, she was strong. We prayed over her, and we watched the spirit come out of her. She went limp, and I told her to stand up. I said, lift your hands. She lifted her hands. I said, repeat after me, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. Come into my life, come into my life. Forgive me of all of my sins, forgive me of all of my sins. Jesus, wash me in the blood of Jesus, wash me in the blood of Jesus. This same girl became our worship leader. So we're not talking about just doing church. I'll say again, Pastor Walker. Your latter days are going to be greater than your former days. You know, I look around, this neighborhood has been transformed. I drove through and I look at, where was the forest that used to be on this side? Jesus said, the harvest is white. We can't get so comfortable being up in here. When the world is going crazy and they're looking for an authentic message, an authentic Jesus. And you may be the only one that they will come in contact with. Yeah. Today she has her own kids. She's married, serving God. You know, I could go on and on and on about how lives, have we seen lives transform. And before I get into my message, I need to tell you about this one. Me and my wife went to Guadalajara, Mexico, where we was training leaders to birth churches. And this pastor, his son was addicted to black heroin. And it was common that they could be sitting at their kitchen table talking, and all of a sudden, gunfire. Everybody had to duck on the floor until they stopped shooting, and then when the shooting stopped, they got back up and just continued like normal. And this pastor said, you know what? This is not the way God has intended for us to live. So they started a prayer meeting in his home, about three or four people. They started fasting and praying. And one day his son came in the house, and when he walked through the door, the power of the Holy Ghost knocked him on the ground. And when he got up, he was totally set free from his addiction. True story. His friends said, come on, let's go get it. He said, no, I'm done. They said, no way. What happened to you? He says, all I know, I went to my daddy's prayer meeting. And I don't want to do drugs anymore. All I want to do is serve Jesus. And so his friends started coming to the prayer meeting. And every person that came to that prayer meeting got set free by the power of the Holy Spirit. And they ran the drug dealers off because nobody was buying no more drugs. And all the folk is now attending his church. He got over 1,000 folk in his church. From a prayer meeting, from a a pastor that says, this is not what God has intended. So he got, they got heaven involved. So we so want, we go get changed that law. We want to change this law. No, no, no. Let's get with Jesus. Hello, somebody. Yeah. Are you with me? Transformation. If you're going to talk about transformation, I believe there needs to be a pattern. There needs to be someone who has done that, who has a track record of transformation. The only person I know that done that 100% of the time is Jesus. Amen? Yeah, so let's look at what God wants to do in this house, in this hour. Mark chapter 1. I want you to listen at this. Mark chapter 1 and verse 14. It says, now after John was put into prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Listen to what he says. Believe in the gospel. Amen? Well, so the question is, how can you tell that the kingdom of God is being preached? See, the kingdom of God must be preached, and then after the kingdom of God is preached, there's always a manifestation. Yeah. Because God confirms his word. The kingdom of God is a manifestation of the word of God that is preached. The kingdom of heaven is where you reside if you're born again. And the kingdom of heaven tells you how to live, how to forgive, how to give. That's the kingdom of heaven. That's where you reside. But the kingdom of God is a manifestation of the power of God, for mainly for people who don't know nothing about God. You see, beloved, we who are born again, we don't need to see a sign. We already know it's real. And that's wrong with a whole lot of us in the church. We want to seek signs. That's what got Jesus upset with a lot of them Pharisees. Always want to see a sign. And Jesus told them, even if I show you a sign, you ain't going to believe it anyway. So I ain't showing you nothing. That's what he said. Yeah. After John had completed his ministry, God put him in prison. He had fulfilled his task, opening the door and paving the way for Jesus. And the Bible says, Jesus said, now the time has been fulfilled. And the Bible said this is when Jesus began to preach the kingdom of God. I'm going to make a declaration over this house. Cross-Cultural Church in Stonecrest, Georgia will be a place where the kingdom of God is preached. Yeah. Well, how can you tell if the kingdom of God is being preached? Well, I'm glad you asked. So I want the word of God to speak for itself. Listen at this. This is how you can tell. Three things. AAA. Here it is right here. Number one, when the kingdom of God is being preached, those who hear it will be astonished. Are you listening? Those who hear it will be astonished. Number two, when the kingdom of God is preached, it will come across with authority. Yeah. It will come across with authority. And then finally, when the kingdom of God is preached, after manifestation is seen, everybody will be amazed. Astonished, with authority, and amazed. My wife's, one of her nephews, a couple years ago, was over in the Mall of Georgia, had a heart attack, and fell on the pavement out in the parking lot. When they found him, they rushed him to the ER, and they checked him in as a John Doe. And when we finally got there, we were sitting there looking at him, and he was going through one aneurysm after another. And the doctor standing there beside me, he looks at me and he says, I'm telling you right now, what we got here is someone who has been underwater for 45 minutes without oxygen. Even if he comes back, he will be a vegetable. And most of the people that was there were unbelievers in her family. My wife stood at the bed, at his bed, and touched his feet. Here's what she said. She said, Lord, to show these people you are who you say you are, raise him up in the name of Jesus. That's what she said. But then they called the family and said, y'all need to come and decide y'all want to pull this plug because there's nothing else we could do. So we started praying. And it was at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning when we were praying, we heard a knock on the door. So we go to open the door, and there's nobody there. So they decide to go and check on her nephew. Let me back up and say this. There was another gentleman in a room next to him, was in the same situation. They told this family there's nothing we can do for him either. So she goes in, they goes in to check on the nephew. When we heard this knock, we opened the door, there's nobody there. So they go in his room and he's sitting there blinking his eyes. So this other family goes in that room to check on this man, and he's sitting there with the remote control changing the channel. Listen to me. We can get so comfortable. Please don't allow our churches to become social clubs. When the power of... He's sitting there changing the channels. Man, you talking about people running up and down the aisle? Her nephew's, which is her niece, his wife, she running up down the hall speaking in tongues. See, now it's time to speak in tongues. had the tube all in his mouth, and my wife said, okay. As a matter of fact, a week before that happened, we was all at Outback Steakhouse, and he was sitting there, and we was talking about praying for people and anointing them with oil. He looks at me and says, Tim, I'm telling you right now, don't come putting no oil on me. I ain't about all this laying no hands on no oil. That's what he said. I just looked at him. And now he's blinking his eyes, and I said, because he couldn't talk, I said, Roosevelt, this is Tim. I said, if you can hear me, come here. They think I'm lying. Here he is right here. Come on. There he is. I'm calling him out. Yeah, I ain't know y'all was here today. There he is. Yes, sir. Yeah. So look. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm talking about the Jesus of the Bible, who is the same today as he was yesterday. I didn't know he was going to be here today. Just to show you, I'm not telling a lie. I'm not trying to pump you up. What I'm doing is building your faith. Your faith can connect with Jesus. Nothing is impossible. You did tell me not putting no oil on you, right? Didn't you tell me that over the Outback? Yeah, he told me. Yeah. And I said, Roosevelt, you have a seat. Thank you, sir. I said, Roosevelt, if you can hear me, close your eyes tight. He said, I said, I got some oil. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I want to lay hands on you. If I can pray for you, just close your eyes. He said, yeah. That's what he said. Yeah. Prayed over him again, Pastor Walker. Had the tubes in his mouth. And my wife said, Roosevelt, the next time we come in, you're going to be talking. We came back to see him about 2 or 3 days later. He was talking. Everybody, even the doctors in the hospital, were saying, it's a miracle. Listen, when the gospel of the kingdom is preached, three things will take place. Astonished. It will come across with authority. And everybody will be amazed. Yeah. Came back in there, Roosevelt was talking. I said, Roosevelt, I'm back. I got some oil. Can I lay hands on you? Know what he said? Tim, whatever you got, pour it all over me. We're talking about this 43rd anniversary of transformation. That our latter days, our days ahead, is going to be greater than our former days. See, I'm trying to build your faith so you can connect with this. So when the kingdom of God is being preached, there is an expectancy. God is going to move on your behalf. Love Jesus? Come on, give him praise. Give him praise. Yeah. 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 Listen at this. Got to hear this. Listen what Jesus said. Listen what Jesus said. Verse 35, Mark chapter 1. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out to a departed to a solitary place, And there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." Verse 38. But he said to them, "Let us go into the next town, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." Jesus says, my purpose and my reason for being here is to preach the gospel of the kingdom. He wouldn't talk about 10 steps to a better you. Let that sink in. Why do we want to go all these angles, all around the bend, to get away from the purpose? Jesus says, let us go to the next town, that I may preach there also. For this purpose, I have been sent for. This is a house where the kingdom of God is preached. Transformation. I'm about done. Yeah. Mark, listen at this. I think I want to go to, no, here we go. Luke chapter 5. Listen at this. Verse 1. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to do what? To hear the word of God. That's what's going to happen in this house. As we set up an altar in our home, in a room, or at a park where we have designated, we go to that solitary place to meet with God. So when we come in here, we are expecting and we're pressing. Not to see who is here, no, to hear a word from God. Yeah. That's what was happening here. I'm not making it up. They pressed about him. They weren't trying to just walk. No. They was trying to get in there. Yeah. That he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes, say multitudes. Yeah. Yeah. I'm telling you, there are people who are looking for answers. They're looking for something that's real. Some of them just have settled because there ain't nothing else. But they just wish there was something different. He taught the multitudes from the boat. And when he had stopped speaking, and when he had stopped preaching, now here comes the manifestation. Yeah. When he has stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, hold on a second. We are professional fishermen. We know about fishing.
The reason we over here washing our nets because ain't nothing biting. So how could you tell us we ain't never seen you go fishing? That's not your profession. We done toil all night long, and we have not caught anything. Watch this. But at your word. See, listen. Yeah. The doctor told me. You have kidney chronic disease. And here are the numbers right here to prove it. That's what he told me. I said, okay. Well, we're gonna go to hear what Jesus got to say about it. We heard your word. Whew. Now we want to hear his word. Here's what the pulmonologist told me. He said, listen, once you lose a level of your kidney, you cannot go back and recover it. It's gone. The only thing you can do is manage what you got now. That's what he told me. I'm hearing all that right there, but I need to hear a word from God. So many of us put all of our trust is somebody who has a practice. You go to talk to him, Pastor Walker. Well, the doctor said. Okay, I heard what the doctor said. He's just telling you how you should go pray to get the final word. Much later, I go back for a follow-up, and the doctor looking at me crazy. He said, did you follow the instruction that we told you to? I went over everything you told me to do. Yes, I did. He said, this just ain't right. Because your kidney functions are normal. Can I give you a nugget? Let me give you a little nugget. The Word of God is the best medicine you can ever take. If you want your life preserved, you got to have a daily diet of eating the Word of God. Jesus says, man shall not live. So what are you eating? Are you eating more of CNN than the Word of God? Are you eating more of Fox News than the Word of God? Because if you're eating that junk, you all messed up. He said, the doctor, I want you to come back 6 months later because these tests right here just got me baffled. I said, yeah, okay, I'll be back. Nothing wrong with going to the doctor, but I ain't giving him my final commitment. And I called my wife on the phone. She said, yeah, I knew about that. I knew the results was going to come back like that. Went back 6 months later, and he told me, don't even come back for a whole nother year. Just. Peter said, although we've done this, see, he's not being super spiritual. You know, you can be around folk every time they talk, they want to use a verse. But you will see no power in their life. Hello, somebody. Peter was not being super spiritual. He says, although we have done this, nevertheless, at your word, we will obey what the word says. The Bible says, after Jesus had stopped preaching, here comes the manifestation. Jesus already knew. Once he, after he preaches, there has to be a manifestation or a confirmation of what was being preached. You think Jesus didn't know that they had been fishing? He saw them washing the nets. He said, yeah, you tall. No, they right here. Put down a net right there. Nevertheless, at your word, we will let down our nets. But here at Cross Culture, we've been doing this. We've been doing that. But Jesus, nevertheless, at your word. Somebody gonna catch that right there. Somebody gonna catch that. Yeah. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when, say when. See, Jesus is wanting you to have a win moment. W-H-E-N. When you obey. When you follow through. When he had let down the nets, they caught a great number of fish till the nets were breaking. See, God has a whole sense of humor. When they went out there, the boat was up like this. Everything was up. And when they obeyed Jesus, the boat was a lowrider. They had so much, they had to call some partners. There's going to be so much stuff happening at Cross Culture, you're going to have to bring along some partners.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
To come help them bring in the catch. You're going to need some help to bring in the catch. Because there's a manifestation happening of the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom of God. Lives are being transformed. Oh, he's the same today as he was yesterday. I promise you. Oh, yeah. You can't change my mind. Because I done experienced him. What he did for me, he wants to do for you. He has no respecter of person. So let's get rid of all distraction. And get single-minded. And let's go after God. Let's go after the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom of God. Yes. Come on, Pastor Greg. Listen at this. Remember, I told you, when the kingdom of God is preached, people will be astonished. It will come across with authority. And everybody who see it will be amazed. Listen at this right here, verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were astonished, there's that word again, astonished at the fish which they had taken in. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid." Look, this thing was so powerful that it scared folk. Whew.
Do not be afraid. Well, David, what you see in these fish, we're going to go catch some men. But lives are going to be transformed by the power of Almighty God. Come on, stand with me. Remember I said, the greatest miracle is when a person is born again. Their residence change. Their whole destination changes. They have access into a realm, what I've been talking about this morning. And when a doctor says this, God will say that. They can go to their Heavenly Father and say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come over my children." Ooh. "Thy kingdom come over my place of work. Thy kingdom come in my classroom." That when your child walks in that classroom, everything shifts. They want to know why are you different? Why are you like? Because I love Jesus. But what I see in your life, I want in my life. How can I get to know this Jesus? Won't you come go with me? Cross cultural. Well, there's a whole lot more of us like me. When they walk through the doors, the power of God convicts them. They walk these altars and surrender their lives to Jesus. One of my biggest concerns, I'm just saying for me, that I don't want to see any of my family members miss the kingdom of heaven. We all have family members. We know that they are not right with God, and somehow we just let it go, hoping somebody else is going to talk to them. Are we afraid to talk to them? Because they won't listen to us. But I've decided that I'm not going to sit back and allow my family members to walk off into eternity without their destination being changed. And I'm going to say this to show you what I mean. One of my nephews, in Christian school, from kindergarten all the way to 12th grade, where they did the Bible study, pledge of allegiance, all that right there. But there was not a good example of what was being taught at school at home. You can't just send your kids over there thinking that they're going to take care of it when... Where you think to spend the most of the time? So he decided that he gonna go towards an alternative lifestyle. After going through all that,
And I said to myself, there's no way I'm going to stand back and stand by. But first of all, I don't know his story, so I'm not going to judge him. I ain't going to go hold no sign, because I don't know his story. I don't know what happened. But I went to him. I didn't go dive off into that trying to, I said, listen, first of all, I want you to understand something. I want you to know I love you. I love you. I will always be here for you. No matter what, I want you to know I'm for you. And I love you. See, people know when you're genuine. And when I begin to say that, he let down the walls. And I said, because I love you, I'm telling you, doing is wrong. Then he began to say, well, yeah. I only do it because it is. I said, no. You're doing it because you want to. Don't be blaming nobody else. But I'm believing God to transform your life. If I have to fast and pray, I'm going to see him delivered and set free by the power of God. There's no way I'm going to stand by and watch my family members to walk off into eternity without their destination being changed. Church, we got to get intentional with this thing. Are you with me? If you're here today, we're not talking about church attendance. That's great, but we're not talking about church attendance and my name on a church roll. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a relationship with the God of the universe. That he could change your destination, tell you what's going to happen before it happens. Who will not serve a God like that? Who could tell you, don't go down that road today, I need you to go this way. And then when you turn down that road and go that way, you go back and turn on the news, you saw, man, there was a shootout over there. I would have been over there. More than that, I have eternal life. I'm never going to die. I'm residing with Jesus. I'm not seated at the right hand of the Father with Jesus. And anything that comes my way must go through his hands first. And if you're here today and you're saying, I want that greatest miracle, not church attendance, but I want this Jesus. This is what I'm telling you. Okay? Life has a way of bringing you things that you never thought you would ever have to experience. But with Jesus, you can face anything because he's overcome everything. If you want this Jesus that I'm talking about today, come on, join me right here. Right here, me and you. Is there anybody? Anybody? So everybody's straight with Jesus. Boy, that's hard for me to believe. Everybody here straight. That if they leave today, something happens, you're going to be okay. Hello, somebody. Are you here today? You say, you know what, Pastor? I want my life. I love Jesus, but I want to move closer. I want to be transformed to where I want the power of the gospel of the kingdom of God to manifest itself in my life in a more real way. If that's you, come on right here. Me and you, right here. Amen. Come on. Bold sister.